Welcome, friend, to this focused deep dive. Today, we're reflecting together on a very recent message. It was delivered by Brother Steve just back on April 6th, 2025. This was lesson number 77 in his study through James from the New Life Benson YouTube channel. The title was simply James, Lesson 77, 4-6-2025.
Right.
And our purpose today really is quite clear, to try and really grasp what Brother Steve was sharing about how we as Christians should, you know, remember and conduct ourselves, especially in what often feels like a pretty challenging, darkening world.
That's right. And Brother Steve's message, it's deeply rooted in James chapter 5, specifically verses 14 through 18. It offers some really significant insights for navigating these times.
Definitely.
He titled this whole section Righteous Praying, and he broke it down very thoughtfully into four key aspects. Prayer and comfort, prayer and restoration, prayer and fellowship, and prayer and power.
Okay.
He mentioned they'd just finished discussing that first one, prayer and comfort, so we're kind of jumping in as he moves to the next vital area.
Got it. Now, before getting right into that main teaching, Brother Steve did take a few moments for, you know, the usual church family announcements.
The usual updates.
Yeah, he mentioned the women's fellowship coming up over at Karen Myers's home. Sounds like something special planned to acknowledge her, even though he noted she won't actually be there in person.
Okay.
And he put out a call for men to help with the ladies' breakfast on the 10th and asked the ladies planning to attend to RSVP just so they get a good head count.
Makes sense. Logistics.
Exactly. And then the church newsletter, he sounded genuinely pleased about its release.
Yeah, he did. And he also shared some specific prayer requests, too. Barbara was back home, which is good news.
Good.
And a request for continued safe travels for Brother Steve's daughter's family heading out to California.
Right.
Also mentioned Joyce, Charlie Merck's mother, was due home Wednesday. And then Roger and Janie asked for prayer for their brother Jim and his wife.
Oh, yeah, the ministry position.
That's the one. Jim accepted a position at Bellevue Heights Church in Sun City, Arizona. Administrative work. It's really wonderful news.
Absolutely. A real blessing seeing someone step into ministry like that. But there's a bit of a hurdle, wasn't there, with their house?
Yeah, they're facing a challenge there.
Yeah.
Can't put their current house on the market just yet because of the local housing situation.
Oh.
So working through the move logistics.
Right, right.
And Brother Steve even added that little joke.
The golf cart?
Yeah. Saying the most crucial thing Jim needs in Sun City is a golf cart. Apparently everyone has one. And the fancier, the better.
Mm.
But seriously, it was very encouraging to hear about Jim entering full-time ministry.
It really is. Well, with those community updates shared, Brother Steve then guided everyone to the core of his message. James 5.14.18 and this whole concept of righteous praying. And as you said, the second point he really dug into was prayer and restoration, focusing right on James 5.1.
That's it.
And Let's look closely at this, because Brother Steve made a really compelling point about the original Greek word there, athenish. It's so often translated sick in our Bibles.
Right. That's the common translation.
But he asserted pretty confidently, based on his study, that its primary meaning is actually weak, feeble, or maybe impotent. That really does shift the perspective, doesn't it?
It really does. And he backed that up, too. He looked at the word's origin, pointing out, asthenish is the root for our word anesthetic.
Ah, okay. Lack of strength, lack of feeling. Makes sense.
Exactly. And he mentioned consulting, I think it was 5 different Greek lexicons.
5. Wow.
Yeah, just to confirm that weak is the main meaning. So this wasn't just, you know, a quick idea.
Yeah.
He really dug into the language.
Clearly.
And it's interesting, focusing on spiritual weakness like that really broadens how you apply the verse. Often we just think, oh, prayer for physical healing.
True.
But this view highlights, you know, the need for support during emotional, spiritual struggles, which, let's face it, many of us go through even if we're physically fine.
Yeah, that's a very significant point. And he didn't stop there. He gave a whole string of New Testament examples where that exact word, athenais, is used clearly talking about spiritual weakness or weakness in faith.
Mm-hmm.
He brought up Romans 14.1, talking about those weak in faith, and 1 Corinthians 8, verses 9, 11, and 12, about stronger believers potentially causing the weaker ones to stumble.
Exactly, and he kept going.
Yeah.
Romans 5.6, using athenae for the helplessness of those without Christ, that fundamental spiritual weakness.
Right.
Then 2 Corinthians 11.21, weakness of personality, and maybe the most powerful one, 2 Corinthians 12.10.
Oh, yeah, Paul's thorn in the flesh. Brother Steve really highlighted how Paul used athenae for his weaknesses, the reproaches, needs, persecutions, distresses.
Mm-hmm.
That just brings it right into focus. here's the Apostle Paul in immense suffering using this word, thinking about our own lives. I mean, have you felt that kind of spiritual weariness Brother Steve talks about?
Oh, absolutely.
And you can see how having that community support he outlines would be just vital then.
Totally vital. And so drawing from all that scripture, Brother Steve concluded that, especially in James's context, writing to a church facing serious trials, temptations, persecution, the translation weak is just much more fitting, more accurate than simply sick. You painted this picture, you know, fallen soldiers, wounded warriors.
Yeah, I remember that imagery.
People who are exhausted, weary, depressed, maybe even defeated Christians, not necessarily physically ill, but spiritually just drained, depleted from the battle.
That imagery is incredibly powerful. And it resonates, I think, with what a lot of believers feel today. He describes people right in the thick of the spiritual fight, facing opposition, maybe feeling totally spiritually bankrupt, even unable to pray effectively for themselves.
Yeah. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? To feel so overwhelmed, your connection feels strained.
It is.
And that understanding leads right into how Brother Steve reads James 5.13. Is anyone among you weak? Let them call for the elders of the church.
Yeah.
He really stressed the significance of that question and the instruction that follows. Mm. If you're in that state of spiritual weakness, the direction isn't to pull back and isolate. It's to reach out for help from the spiritually mature in your church.
And he really hammers home the role of the elders there, doesn't he?
He does.
Pointing back to the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, reminding us they're meant to be the spiritually strong ones, you know, people who've cultivated that deep relationship with the Lord, equipped to come alongside those who are faltering spiritually.
Exactly. The shepherds, the overseers, who should have that spiritual fortitude.
Right.
And he also, he unpacked the Greek word proskale, translated, let them call. He explained it means calling someone to your side for support, for lifting up.
Ah, okay. So it's active.
Very active. Huh. Not just a passive ask for help, but an invitation for partnership in prayer and restoration.
Mm.
He even paralleled it to Galatians 6.1, restoring those caught in trespass. It highlights that communal aspect of healing.
It really is about coming alongside, isn't it? Not judging. He then connected it to 1 Peter 5.7, casting our anxieties on him.
Because he cares for us.
Yeah, exactly. And how those spiritually strong can help make that happen for those feeling too weak or overwhelmed to do it themselves really underlines the importance of community, especially in tough times.
Indeed. And Brother Steve, he expressed a concern, didn't he? That this vital ministry of prayer and support has maybe been, well, degraded, as he put it, in some church cultures today.
Yeah, I caught that.
Contrasting it with the apostles' priority in Acts 6.4, dedicating themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, like a reminder that prayer should be foundational.
He even shared that personal story about his brother Bob, the intense prayer warrior.
Right.
Emphasizing his own belief that all believers are called to a life of prayer. It wasn't devaluing individual prayer at all, was it?
No, not at all.
It was more highlighting the need for the spiritually strong to intentionally pray for those feeling weak and burdened.
Precisely. And then he shifted to address that often debated part of James 5.14, anointing with oil.
Ah, yes. That always sparks discussion.
It does. He carefully clarified the Greek verb aleph. That basically just means to rub or to oil, not necessarily some formal ceremonial dab.
Okay.
And the oil itself, aeolian, just plain olive oil. Very common, everyday stuff back then.
So literally rubbing or pouring oil. And he made that distinction, too, between alepha and kresh. The word for ceremonial anointing.
Yes.
Yes.
That was a key distinction, suggesting the practice James mentions might have been more practical, less strictly ritualistic, maybe.
Interesting.
And he gave that historical context. Oiling was common for cleansing, soothing minor injuries. He referenced the Good Samaritan, Luke 10.34.
Using oil and wine on the wounds.
Right. And even athletic massages back then used oils for sore muscles.
Mm.
So oil was understood as something for practical care and comfort.
Okay. And then he moved into a more metaphorical idea, didn't he?
He did. Suggesting oiling could also symbolize stimulating, encouraging, kind of like massaging the spirit, warming the heart, providing inner strength, ministering to the whole person.
That's a really powerful way to think about it.
It is. And he said he was open to literal anointing for those physically wounded, maybe from persecution.
Okay.
But he also really emphasized the metaphorical oiling of the spirit through encouragement, love, practical support, which ties right back to restoring the weary. He even brought up Luke 7.46, anointing a guest with oil as a sign of welcome and refreshment.
And connecting it to Isaiah 1.6, where oil soothes external wounds. Again, practical uses. So putting it all together, his view of prayer and restoration is really this ministry of prayer and practical care.
Exactly. He pictures mature leaders, elders, shepherds, intentionally coming alongside the wounded, broken, weak, weary, praying with them and for them.
Actively offering strength.
Right. Showing compassion, giving encouragement, binding up those spiritual wounds. He even mentioned Mark 6.13, apostles anointing the sick with oil and healing them. And shared his own experience praying and anointing a woman with brain cancer who was later healed. So he definitely believes in physical healing through it too.
But the main thrust, it seemed, was the importance of reaching out to those in the community who are spiritually depleted.
Yes.
Those who've lost their strength, maybe can't even cry out to God themselves. And the responsibility of leaders, and really all of us to some degree, to meet those needs through prayer, encouragement, support.
He used that beautiful image from Psalm 23. He anoints my head with oil.
Mm-hmm.
Explain how a shepherd cares for individual sheep, checks for wounds, applies oil.
Mm.
And he voiced that concern, didn't he? That this kind of personal care and restoration might feel a bit foreign in some churches today, even though it's right there in Scripture?
Yeah, that felt like a challenge. He then reiterated his commitment and the elders' commitment there, not just to teach God's word, but also to actively provide this kind of support, including physical anointing if needed.
And that spiritual oiling.
Right. Encouragement, comfort, strengthening prayer for the whole congregation.
And doing it all in the name of the Lord, he clarified, means acting consistently with Christ's character and will, representing him through that loving care.
Makes sense. Finally, he touched on James 5.15, his interpretation. The prayer of faith will save the weak, not just the sick, and the Lord will raise them up.
Mm-hmm. Clarifying that weak here implies those weary, exhausted from the spiritual battle. He linked it to Hebrews 12.3, where the same Greek word is translated weary, in the context of enduring hostility for the faith.
Which really brings it all back to his main theme for us today.
Absolutely. It's about those in our fellowship worn down by the struggles, the persecutions this world brings, and the power of believing prayer, especially from the spiritually strong, to lift them up, restore them, bring healing. He finished that point by stressing our need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus.
The author and finisher of our faith.
Exactly. Especially when facing persecution, drawing strength from Christ's own example of suffering and victory.
So as we sort of wrap up reflecting on Brother Steve's message, the key takeaway that really stands out is this. In a world that, yeah, it can feel increasingly dark and hostile for Christians.
It definitely can.
We're reminded just how crucial our Christian community is. The power of prayer, especially that intercessory prayer from the spiritually strong for those feeling weak and weary.
Mm-hmm.
And the practical ways we need to be actively caring for each other, spiritually, through encouragement, support, prayer, and even physically when needed. All done, always, in the name of the Lord Jesus.
That's a really great summary. And it leaves us with that vital question for our own lives, doesn't it? In what, you know, tangible, intentional ways can each of us more actively offer real spiritual strength, practical support, heartfelt encouragement to those around us who might be quietly feeling weak or discouraged or just plain weary in their faith journey?
Yeah.
It's a real call to action, isn't it?
Yeah.
Active love, intentional care, unwavering support within the body of Christ.
A profoundly important question for every one of us to prayerfully consider and try to live out. Well, thank you for taking this deep dive with us today. Until next time, may God richly bless you and keep you always in his loving care.